Jesus loves you, he will draw you to himself by the very trials that seem to you. So see if he understands. Jesus is your Savior. Only a little while of trial, only a little while of pain, and then an eternal weight of glory. All the open ways. We have fallen, it is true, but we are not always to remain in sin. Jesus is true, Jesus understands, Jesus is your Savior. Only a little while of sorrow, only a little while of tears, and then an eternal weight of glory on a open place. Take hold of Jesus and never let go. Don't look on the dark side, be hopeful in God, be faithful. Jesus is true, Jesus understands, Jesus is our Savior. Only a little while of trouble, only a little while of fear, and then an eternal weight of glory on our ways. We have to wear a crown, we must expect to bear the cross. Jesus knows best. Only a little while of waiting, only a little while is coming, and then an eternal weight of glory on our way. On our way. On our way. On our way.
Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Do you hear me? Am I clear? Okay, thank you. Also, before we start, I invite you to pray. Please kneel if you can. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly ask that you continue to be with us through your Holy Spirit as we continue to eat the true bread. Thank you so much for the blessing that you have given during the children and the adult study earlier. It's really amazing, Lord, how you pour your blessing to your church. And we uplift to you all the precious souls that need salvation while there is still time to repent. And please continue to speak in our hearts through your words that we will all be sanctified, for thy words are truth. And please, Lord, write on my tongue as I speak on your behalf. Please forgive and cleanse your church of all our sins. And thank you for hearing our prayers, for we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So today is June 22, 2024. This is part two of the Straight and Narrow Path that we have last week. So there is also a note. You can follow along if you like. Our first text is found in Matthew chapter 3, 2 to 3. Matthew chapter 3, 2 to 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So this passage is actually quoted from Isaiah 40 verse 3. You can jot it down. And it spoke about John, the forerunner of Christ. So when a very important person is about to make his entry or public appearance, a forerunner, you know, comes before him announcing his arrival, and he directs that all obstacles be removed and that everything be prepared for his coming. It's just like how we prepare and clean our home, our houses, when we expect a visitor, right? So John's mission provides the basis for our work and actions. John called the attention of the people to the law, and his message was a call for repentance in preparing the way for Christ's first advent. And likewise, in our time, we must give a definite message before the second coming to prepare to meet the God. It is not a peace and safety message, no, but a testing and harvest message that will clear the way of our Lord. See, as a remnant of our seed, we are reformers who show that the law of God is the foundation of all enduring reform. So we must do our duty. We must get ready. And how to prepare and strengthen the path? We must meet him by repentance, receive him by trusting faith, simple faith, by giving up our old self, giving up our selfish ideas, our faulty lifestyles, rectifying our mistakes and errors, and improving our lives. Let's clear the path of anything that could offend our Lord. That's why the Lord's message for us today is repent. Prepare the way for a revival of my word. Let's remove every barrier to the salvation of God's people by spreading the gospel truth using the thus saith the Lord. And this will prove remedy for all sins and sufferings. Even the climate, you know, it's hot today, but that will not limit us. Even poverty, even people are prejudiced. This cannot limit us giving this message because it adapts to human needs. In Psalms 25, 4 and 5, it says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." The ways of God are His methods of running the world. His rulings, the guidelines He has set in carrying out His plans, and the vast principles by which He rules the universe. That's why in Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, He said, it says, "He is the rock, His word is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He." So, seek the Lord to understand His ways so that we can properly govern our behavior without relying on our own understanding. Always remain humble and teachable under His guidance and instruction. Because in Psalms 25 verse 10, it says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." Do you recall the old wagon used by the pioneers in 1800s, even early 1900s, when highways were still made up of dirt? See, all the paths of the Lord are like the tracks or pits left by the wagon wheels as they pass over the same ground over and over again. So God frequently demonstrates His mercy and truth to us, making His path visible. And these tracks are so many. They are deeply imprinted in each of His children. In each of us. So wherever we walk, we can see how God's mercy and truth have left a lasting impression. That's why we have these testimonies. But God is very merciful to those who obey God, or to obey His law. He is a loving and faithful God in dealing with us. Even during our difficult times, He works out of kindness and faithfulness to us. Praise the Lord. In Psalms 119, verse 35, and verse 105, Psalms 119, 35, and 105, it says, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's a very familiar text for all of us. God is giving us the ability. He's giving us a willing mind to walk this narrow path by providing us with a fresh supply of grace and spiritual power every day. Especially this Sabbath day. He's helping us to walk in and keep His commandments. Yes, His law, His word, these serve as a light and lamp in darkness, shining our path so that we can see the way, so that we avoid dangers, keep our feet from sliding or falling. Avoid stumbling over obstacles or falling off the cliff. So the Word of God is surely our guide, always pointing us in the right direction. That's why we must read our Bible and pray every day and grow in grace. Remember that song, the kids? Yeah, make it a habit. Jeremiah 10:23, it says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And in Psalms 37:23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. So man's way, our way, your way, will not lead us to the gate of heaven. I remember the classic song, you know, the title, My Way. Huh? Yes, it says, like, the end is near, I traveled each and every highway, I did it my way. See? But we all know that our way is always opposite to God's way. Why? Because it contradicts His word and leads to the gate of hell. See, we have a heaven to win and a hell to shun. Christ is the only way. We cannot take the right steps without Christ in our life. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they direct us on the path of truth and obedience. Therefore, we must endure cheerfully the trials and sacrifices until the end, until the finish line. In Gospel Worker 462, Gospel Worker 462.1, it says, the path of uprightness is the path of peace. Those who have the meekness and lowliness of Christ can walk this humble path calmly, restfully, trustfully. No matter what may be our temperament, we may walk this path if we will. Remember? The will is the governing power of our life, our soul. So it is plain, and there is no need of constant anxiety and fear, fretting and worry, lest we shall lose the way. No. This path is the highway of holiness cast up for the ransom of the Lord to walk in. And it is the glorious path of the just, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day, according to Proverbs 4:18. So those who walk in this way will wear a cheerful, happy countenance, for it is lighted up by bright beams from the Sun of Righteousness. That's why Christ loves to see His people happy. And a watchful Christian is also a happy Christian because he or she is connected with God. In Psalms 144:15 says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yeah, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. So, recreation. Let's talk about recreation and amusement. These two, recreation, is very different from worldly amusements and entertainments. When you are exhausted physically and mentally, you must rest. Do not treat your health indifferently. You must follow the laws of health. Christian recreation strengthens, it builds up, and restores the body and mind so you return to your duties with renewed energy. Go outdoors, perhaps to the park with your family or by yourself, to appreciate God's goodness, and there you will feel refreshed. But on the other hand, any worldly amusements that make you unfit for your regular duties are not only safe but also dangerous. young people, be careful in choosing your recreation. It's not a sin to be happy, but there's a limit. So these worldly entertainments, they entice the mind to go in the wrong way, and it corrupts the thoughts so that what is wrong becomes right. That's why I remember during our prayers and study meeting last Sabbath, we talk a little bit about the effect of feeding the mind with trash or junk. That's when you allow yourself to become engrossed in, let's say, fiction, like exciting movies, video games. These are all promoted by Hollywood, right? And gamers. What happened? You lose appetite in reading your Bible and even praying. Yes, there are so many diversions nowadays. Because we have smartphones. We have social media platforms like Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Yeah, so dramas and movies. So just to name a few. Don't get me wrong. These are useful when they are used wisely, like, you know, sharing your faith with others. Yeah. But don't allow yourself to be controlled by these gadgets, by these platforms, feeling that life is boring without them. No, don't let distractions block your mind from connecting with God. Because you may eventually come to regret walking downward. In Signs of the Times, July 27, 1904, paragraph 2, it says, "All along the pathway, God places the fair flowers of promise to brighten our journey. But many refuse to gather these flowers, choosing instead the thorns and thistles. At every step, they weep and mourn when they might rejoice in the Lord. God scatters blessing along our way to brighten our journey. He inspires us to love and praise Him, but He does not promise, remember, He does not promise a bed of roses free of thorns and thistles." That's why in MB, Man of Blessing 139, Mount of Blessing 139, we are told, "Yet do not therefore conclude that the upward path is the hard and the downward road the easy way. No, because all along the road that leads to death, there are pains and penalties. There are sorrows and disappointments. There are warnings not to go on. God's love has made it hard for the heedless and headstrong to destroy themselves." See? The only thing, because they don't have God, they don't listen. So hard-headed, stubborn. It is true that Satan's path is made to appear attractive, but it is all a deception. It's just a screensaver. You know, I have a picture of fire. It's like hell with a screensaver of heaven. But when you open it, it's actually fire. So it looks attractive, but it's a deception. In the way of evil, there are bitter remorse and conquering care. We may think it pleasant to follow pride and worldly ambition, but the end is pain and sorrow. Selfish plans may present flattering promises and hold out the hope of enjoyment, but we shall find that our happiness is poisoned and our life embittered by hopes that center in self. In the downward road, the gateway may be bright with flowers, but thorns are in the path. Remember, it may appear attractive, but it's a deception. The light of hope which shines from its entrance fades into the darkness of despair, and the soul who follows that path descends into the shadows of unending night. So, while walking this path, please do not dwell on the mistakes, failures, disappointments, grief, or discouragements of life. Please gather the roses, the flowers, cling to His promises. Don't be deceived by the flattering promises of the world. Instead, count your blessings, name them by one by one, and leave the thorns alone, as they will only wound you and prevent others from walking the path of life. In 5T 500, all short routes, all cut off tracks, all teaching which fails to exalt the law of God as the standard of religious character is spurious. What is spurious? It is fake. False. See, we heard during the study that, you know, the Car-Free Sunday will be held in exactly the same day, you know, the start of our committee. And this is not only in the U.S. In Philippines, they have it too. Car-Free Sunday. It's like this is now worldwide. Okay? So, all churches who adopted this Catholic dogmas, especially the keeping of Sunday, these are all spurious or fake standards. Not only that, the Pope is hoping to unite all churches on Easter Sunday next year. So, next year, 2025, must be a very interesting year for the children of God. Yes, this includes the apostate SDA Church. And the U.S. government, too, they intend to enact legislation through their Project 2025, designed to help Christians in keeping the Sunday Sabbath holy. So, is this a coincidence? No, not at all. These are all shortcuts that will lead to pouring of God's wrath without mercy. So, let's prepare. And go on, as we go on, perfection of character is a lifelong work, unattainable by those who are not willing to strive for it in God's appointed way, by slow and toilsome steps. We cannot afford to make any mistake in this matter, but we want day by day to be growing up into Christ, our living head. Our goal is to perfect our character, but remember, this is not an overnight work. It is a continuous process. There are no shortcuts to holiness. You cannot take up another way. You cannot act, talk, eat, and dress like the world and still go to heaven. In a letter 117, 1901. Letter 117, 1901, paragraph 13-14. It says, "The road leading heavenward is straight and narrow. For this reason, many choose the wide road of the world. In it, they find room for self-gratification. They pick up, by the way, those things which please temporarily, casting longing glances at the attractions which the world holds out. And they refuse to hear him who, desiring to save them from death, points to the straight gate and the narrow path, saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." Isaiah 30:21. Oh, how many there are who say, "What need is there to hurry? Sometime in the future, I will make a decided change." Remember what happens if you delay obedience? There is danger. It is always unsafe because you will make a wrong decision later on. Continue. There is a positive dislike to turn from selfishness. Thus the poor lover of pleasure is borne along in the wide road of destruction. No one can reach heaven by the broad road. The narrow way alone leads to the city of God. Selfishness. God cannot pour out His Spirit while selfishness, this selfishness, is manifested in the church, in the family, or in individual member. That's why any known sin must be confessed and repented of. We must die daily, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31. Said, "I die daily." We must be dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Keep in mind that Satan is watching every avenue, our senses, you know, to divert our attention away from the right path. But we must keep going forward to victory. In letter 43, 1898, paragraph 3, we are told, "Every advanced step in the straight and narrow path prepares the way for another step." And in Mount of Blessing 140, paragraph 1, MB 140.1, "Every act of obedience to Christ, every act of self-denial for His sake, every trial well endured, every victory gained over temptation is a step in the march to the glory of final victory." So if we take Christ for our guide, He will lead us safely, and the veriest sinner need not miss His way. Not one trembling seeker need fail of walking in pure and holy light. Though the path is so narrow, so holy that sin cannot be tolerated therein, yet access has been secured for all. And not one doubting, trembling soul need say, "God cares not for me." God gave His only begotten Son for everybody to save us. In Psalms 85:13, it says, "Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps." What does it mean? What is the righteousness of Christ that He is talking about right here? In letter 141, September 10, 1902, we are told, "It is the righteousness of Christ that goes before us. It is His character that we are to copy. And then what? The glory of the Lord shall be our reward. Our leader goes before us, and as we follow Him, He imparts to us His righteousness, which is revealed in our lives by a well-ordered life and a godly conversation. It is faith and works that makes us Christians." preparing us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, 13, Hebrews 12, 13, it says, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." In letter 89, 1894, it says, "Wherever you may see others doing what your judgment convicts you as being unseemly for a Christian, see to it that you never do the same things yourself. Just as long as you will follow in the footsteps of Jesus, you will walk securely. It is essential that every soul that names the name of Christ should make straight paths for his feet. Why? Lest the lame be turned out of the way. It is a terrible, terrible thing to give a soul a wrong example and to lead him in a crooked course by the way in which you walk. You may walk. Always remember that all of us, that you are dealing with God's property in all you're dealing with others. So be kind, be pitiful, be courteous, respect God's purchased possessions, treat each other with love and respect, use all your God-given abilities to set a good example. In 2 T 47, ever bear in mind that we are accountable for the influence we exert. Our influence gathers with Christ or scatters abroad. We are either helping souls in the narrow path of holiness, or we are a hindrance, a stumbling block to them, turning them out of the way. What kind of influence do you have on your family, on your neighborhood, with your coworkers, especially to those who are new to the faith or babes in Christ? What influence do we show to them? What is our example? Are we showing them the right standard of holiness? Are we helping them in walking straight on this path of holiness? Or are we stumbling block to them? God forbid. Because we are warned in Matthew 18:6, this is a warning. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he were drowned in the deep of the sea." Whoever causes someone to stumble and fall into sin will face sure punishment. Scary. The example of unconsecrated life while you are pretending to be a Christian will have a detrimental influence on other souls. You are leading them away from Christ, and their blood will be on your garment. Yes, that's right. It is a terrible, it is an awful thing to give someone a wrong example. In letter 1, 1880, paragraph 22 to 24. "Our names may be called in a little while, and there will be none to answer. Let that life be hid in God, and that name be registered in heaven and it is immortalized. Follow on what wherever Christ leads the way. And let the footprints which you leave behind you on the sands of time be such that others may safely follow in the path of holiness. I remember the lyric of the song entitled Finest Faithful. It's really a beautiful song. It says, May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. It's a wonderful message. Continue. All along the path that leads to death, there are pains and penalties. There are sorrows and disappointments. There are warnings from God's messengers not to go on, and God will make it hard for the heedless and the headstrong to destroy themselves. All the way up the steep path leading to eternal life are wellspring of joy to refresh the weary. The true strong joy of the soul begins when Christ is formed within the hope of glory. And if you choose the path where God leads, and go forward where the voice of duty calls, the difficulties which Satan has magnified before you will disappear. And next paragraph. No path is safe save that which grows clearer and firmer the farther it is pursued. The foot may sometimes slip upon the safest path. In order to walk without fear, you must know that your hand is firmly held by the hand of Christ. And you must not for a moment think that there is no danger for you. The wisest make mistakes. The strongest sometimes falter. Look what happened to Solomon and Samson. When they choose their own way, they fell. So the foolish, self-confident, heady, and high-minded who press heedlessly on upon forbidden paths, flattering themselves that they can change their course when they please, are walking upon a path of pitfalls. They may recover a fall, a mistake they make, but how many make one misstep which will prove their eternal ruin? We have a best example, you know, in the life of Esau. When Esau sold his birthright for one morsel of meat, you know, the pot of lentils, according to Hebrews 12:16, you know, one morsel of meat. He was assuming that he can dispose of it at his convenience and buy it later, but he took the wrong course. So if you play the policy of non-committal, meaning you are in the neutral position, indifferent, in order to gain objects you would otherwise fail to obtain, if you secure by art and cunning what should be won by perseverance, toil, and conflict, you will be entangled in a net of your own weaving, and will be ruined not only for this world, but for the future life. And that's the worst part. See, you have suffered in this life. And when Christ returns, you will still suffer eternal death due to your indifference. So what a waste. So God forbid that we will slip and fall on this straight and narrow path because of one misstep. And when you are non-committal, then you are double-minded. Because in Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. So you cannot walk on two roads at the same time. You cannot walk on both the narrow path and the wide road. Just like you cannot serve God and Mammon. It is impossible. In Review and Herald, April 18, 1898, We have a warning. Take note. It says, those who begin their Christian life by being half and half. What do you mean by that? You are not fully committed. Huh? You are not fully converted. Will at last be found enlisted on the enemy's side when whatever may have been their first intentions. That's why, partial obedience is not acceptable to God. Partial observance of the Sabbath is offensive to God. Huh? Neutrality is not acceptable to God because we will end up on the enemy's side. Continue, it says, and to be an apostate, a traitor to the cause of God, is more serious than death, for it means the loss of eternal life. Just look at the life of what happened to Judas. Learn from his example. He was eternally lost by being a traitor. So double-minded men and women are Satan's best allies. So these are the agents of Satan. Whatever favorable opinion they may have of themselves, they are dissemblers because they are pretending to be Christians. They are living a lie. So all who are loyal to God and the truth must stand firmly for the right because it is right to yoke up with those who are unconsecrated and yet be loyal to the truth is simply impossible. We cannot unite with those who are serving themselves, who are working on worldly plans, and not lose our connection with the heavenly counselor. That's why you see all this ecumenism now being pushed to all the world. Huh? We may recover ourselves from the snare of the enemy, but we are bruised and wounded, and our experience is dwarfed. Just imagine. Imagine being bruised and wounded physically. Huh? You feel like you want to die because of pain, right? You cannot think clearly. You want to give up. You want to die. So, same thing, a wounded spirit always brings down rather than up because all hope and comfort are gone. That is what Satan wants, my dear brothers and sisters. He wants to take us down. That's why even David, he said in Psalms 143 verse 3, he uttered, Psalms 143 verse 3, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He had smitten my life down to the ground. He had made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. So, consider this. Being indifferent in Christian life is a clear denial of Christ. Because Christ says in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattereth abroad. Many profess to be working for Christ, but they will not give up their wrong habits. They still love worldly pleasures. They do not follow Christ on the path of self-denial and sacrifice. They don't give their whole heart to God. That's why they are what? Instead of gathering, they are scattering abroad. They are working against Christ. That's why in Christ's Object Lesson 118.1, COL 118.1, they are almost Christians, yet not fully Christians. They seem near the kingdom of heaven, but they cannot enter there. Almost but not wholly saved means to be not almost but wholly lost. So, profession is nothing. We may claim to be Christians now. But if we don't fully surrender ourselves to God, we are just pretenders. We shall be forever lost. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us not allow the enemy to stop us from moving forward on this straight and narrow path, no matter what. In letter 16F, 1892, letter 16F, 1892 says, Satan has placed his active agents along the passage to dispute the way of every soul. Christ has encouraged his followers not to be intimidated. Press on. Urge your way through. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Matthew 13:24. Darling, cherished idols will have to be given up. The darling sins. This must be given up. The sins that have been indulged, even if it comes as close as the plucking out of the right eye or cutting off the right arm. It's better to go to heaven without your eyes or without arms. Agonize, force your way through the very armies of hell that oppose your passage. Now, in Word to the Little Flap, we have gone through this book. It's really a blessing. And in this book, God has shown to Sister White that the troubles of the remnant people to the city of God. In Word to the Little Flock, excuse me, Word to the Little Flock, page 14, paragraph 2, WLF, paragraph 2, 14, paragraph 2. It says here, while praying at the family altar, the Holy Ghost fell on me, and I seemed to be rising higher and higher. Far above the dark world, I turned to look for the Advent people. Now, during the time of William Miller, but could not find them. When a voice said to me, look again and look a little higher. At this, I raised my eyes and saw a straight and narrow path. In Matthew 7:14, cast up high above the world. And on this path, the Advent people were traveling to the city. That's the heaven, which was at the farther end of the path. They had a bright light set up behind them at the first end of the path, which an angel told me was the midnight cry in Matthew 25:6. So, what is this midnight cry? This is a call. This was a call of separation. Separation from all corrupt, both from corrupt churches and separation from personal sins in order to be completely perfect before God. That's why we have a song, Separate Me From All This World, Lord. Yeah. So separation from all corruption. This is the cry of our holy faith. This light shone all along the path and gave light for their feet so they might not stumble. And if they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus, who was just before them, leading them to the city, they were safe. But soon, some grew weary and they said the city was a great way off and they expected to have entered it before. Then Jesus would encourage them by raising his glorious right arm. And do you know what is that right arm? It's no other than the health reform. God gave this truth to have a health, so that we will have a healthy body to serve him better. To understand the truth better. And from his arm came a glorious light which waved over the Advent band. And they shouted, Hallelujah! But others rashly denied the light behind them and said that it was not God that had led them out so far. So, the the separation message, they completely denied it. They go back to the world because they said it was not God who led them so far. So they insulted God. And the light behind them went out, leaving their feet in perfect darkness. And they stumbled and got their eyes off the mark and lost sight of Jesus and fell off the path down in the dark and wicked world below. And it was just as impossible for them to get on the path again and go to the city as all the wicked world which God had rejected. That's why if we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, but we willingly sin again, we deny Him. We blaspheme the Holy Spirit by repeatedly sinning. And it is impossible for us to get in the path again if we will not comply to the condition. Because the continuer said, they fell all the way along the path, one after another, until we heard the voice of God like many waters, which gave us the day and hour of Jesus' coming. The living saints, 144,000 in number, this is the Gideon band, they knew and understood the voice, while the wicked thought it was thunder in an earthquake. When God spake the time, He poured on us the Holy Ghost, and our faces began to light up and shine with the glory of God, as Moses did when he came down from Mount Sinai. Let us pray. Let us pray that God will pour upon us His Holy Spirit. Let us pray that we will all be united, that the spirit of unity will be seen in our midst. The love of the brethren must be felt by one another. We must unify in the truth now so that we will receive His promise. In Review and Herald, Review and Herald, October 12, 1905, we are told, the work is soon to close. You never know. We might this year might be the last meeting we will have. So take opportunity. Make yourself available, present in the meeting. The work is soon to close. The members of the church militant who have proved faithful will become the church triumphant. And in reviewing our past history, having traveled over every step of advance to our present standing, I can say, praise God! Can you also say that when you review your life? From the time you accepted Christ, even in your heart, can you also say, praise God? It says, as I see what God has wrought, I am filled with astonishment and with confidence in Christ as leader. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and His teaching in our past history. Our dear brothers and sisters, we are almost home. There is no time now to be easy, to dilly-dally. We must walk seriously. Walking our talk. We must walk faithfully and diligently every day. Psalm 17:5 says, hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. We must know ourselves and be aware of our weaknesses. Yes, examine ourselves to ensure we remain in God's way and direct our actions. We must recognize our divine need and power and grace to guide us to the path of truth and duty, to the path of faith and holiness while going in this straight and narrow path, so that our feet do not slide. I have two more texts here. Psalms 23:3-4 and in Treaty 544. In Psalms 23:3-4 it says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Praise the Lord! Praise His holy name, for God saves us from destruction, and He converts our soul from sin, so that we will not perish. That's the blessings for us. God heals our backslidings if we repent, and restores us to His favor on the path of righteousness, the straight and narrow path of holiness. And lastly, I want to leave you this last quotation. And this is also my prayer, found in Treaty 544. Treaty 544. May God help you all to make earnest efforts to gain everlasting life and to lead others in the path of holiness. I hope and pray that you are blessed with what we shared this Sabbath day. Amen.
Separate me from this world, Lord. I've done so much wrong. I don't want anymore. The love the world can give is not enough. Give me your love. Give me your strength.
Shall we pray? Please kneel if you can. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. for blessing us with all your comforting words this Sabbath day. Thank you, Lord, for leading us along this straight and narrow path of holiness, the path of righteousness, and for holding us every time, even in times of trials and difficulties, so that our faith do not slide. Help us, Father, to walk earnestly and diligently, and to set a good example for others, so that they will not stumble and fall. We ask that you please, Lord, bless your church, bless your people around the world with the abundant latter rain you have promised to us, the 10 times power. Please, Lord, help us to endure till the end. And we ask that you stay with us for the rest of the Sabbath day until we meet tonight for our prayer and study meeting. And thank you so much for cleansing us. For we uplift all to you our hearts and glorify your holy name. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.